Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2a. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's still the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm thankful for that. I want to honor my father today. I haven't had an earthly father since I was 13 years old, but I want to say that God has been a good father.
Amen.
He's been a good father to me. He's been a faithful father. Even when I wasn't, he was faithful. And I want to honor him today. I'm thankful that he adopted me, that I no longer belong to the devil, but I belong to the Lord. And I don't belong to myself. And you don't either. If you've been born again, you don't belong to yourself. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, and you belong to the Lord. And we need to learn to live our lives in accordance with that, and not as if they belong to us. We can't plan our own futures. Well, we can, but it doesn't honor God when we do that. We need to acknowledge Him in all our ways and allow Him to show us the plan that He has for our lives by seeking Him to find out the plan that He has for our futures. And it's a good plan. He says it's a good plan. Thank you, Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. This is not a very popular message. It doesn't tickle our flesh, and sometimes it can be a hard message. But it's the message that the Lord gave me for today.
Thank you, Lord.
So I want to be faithful to Him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Amen.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen. Live forever.
I pray the Lord will give you a supernatural revelation today of His Word. You cannot understand the things of God without supernatural revelation. And the Lord has just kept that with me through the past few weeks, that we need supernatural revelation.
Yes.
Knowledge alone, just mind knowledge, or carnal knowledge, or normal, you know, like anybody of the world can read books and learn. That's not enough when it comes to the things of God. We've got to have revelation to be able to truly understand. Otherwise, you just know about the things, but you don't really know.
Amen.
Experiential knowledge, personal, intimate knowledge. You've got to have revelation. And it can come in various ways from the Lord. It can come just as light coming in when you read the Word and you say, wow, I've never seen that before, even though you may have read it 100 times. You know, you may have read the same Scripture since you were a child. But all of a sudden, the light shines and you have a spiritual understanding of it. The light shines in your mind and gives you that revelation. Not just the knowledge of knowing about it. It can also come as visions. Or, you know, a lot of times the Lord has given me things and I wasn't even sure sometimes. Actually, when I got saved, when I came to the Lord, I had a vision. And after it was over, I said, now, wait a minute. Was that my imagination? Was all that stuff, did I just conjure that up in my imagination? You know, because your mind will come in with doubts. So I tried to get it back, to reimagine it, and I could not. That's how sometimes you can tell if you have, you know, at least that's how the Lord has worked with me sometimes. I've had like a vision in my mind, and He uses our, God gave us imaginations to be used for His glory, not to imagine vain things, but spiritual things. And He'll give you a picture of something. And then if you maybe try to imagine it back, or maybe you try to change it, that's a test. And just last Sunday night, I believe it was, the Lord gave me a vision. Now, I'm not talking about a vision with these eyes like I see you now. I'm talking about, you know, but people have had those kind too. In their body and out of their body and various things. Those are real and those are in accordance with Scripture. But I'm talking about something in my mind that the Lord showed me. And then I said, now, wait a minute. Am I just imagining that? So I tried to make it different and I couldn't do it. I knew the difference. So what I'm saying here, the Lord can give you revelation in various ways. And don't disregard things as not being the Lord. Test them out to see. A lot of times it might be your carnal imagination or your carnal mind. You know, a lot of people have had visions that were not from God. And they were, you know, visions. They were real visions, but they were sent from the devil, like Muhammad. He had, all this vision, and the whole religion is built on his vision. But that wasn't from God. It was from an angel of light that was not really an angel of light. The devil can appear as an angel of light and fool you if you don't test it out and if you're not careful.
Amen, amen.
If you don't test it by the Spirit of God and by the Word. If it does not line up with a Word, if it's against the Word, it is not from God, period. But we need supernatural revelation to understand the things of God. That's why people that are not saved, they can't understand why we do the things we do or say the things we say, or they can't even understand why we want to go to church. And you know, different things they just can't understand. You try to tell them, and I don't want to hear that. I was like that too before I came to the Lord, before the light shined, the illumination of the gospel. That's the beginning. That's the first revelation, where you have a revelation of your sinful nature.
Amen.
And you're convicted by the power of the Spirit of God. But that's just the beginning. We need greater revelation. Greater and greater and more and more. We need a revelation, and I said this before, we need a revelation of our death with Jesus. You need a revelation to know that truly, truly, you are dead in Christ, that you died with Him, in Him, on the cross. And then you need a revelation of your resurrection so that you can walk in that resurrection power and that new life. So pray. Pray for greater revelation. Pray for revelation and the Lord will give it to you. Sometimes He'll surprise you. It could be while you're driving or any time. But if you're praying for it and continue to pray for it, He'll do it. He'll do it. May not even be what you're the type, exactly what you've asked for, but He'll give you revelation so that you can understand how to better serve Him and live for Him. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Until you have a revelation of the kingdom of God, then it is your nature, flesh nature, to want the things of the world. Now, I'm not talking about if you're born again. If you're not, then you have a desire to sin or do whatever. But I'm not talking about that. I am talking right now to people that are born again. People that are truly born again, they don't have a desire to sin. They have a desire to serve God.
Amen.
But yet, there are times, from lack of understanding, that the flesh will want to do its thing and draw you away. There are only two kingdoms. There's not three. There's only two. There's no middle ground. You're either in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of the devil. Now, people may be moral people. They may try to do the right things in the government, or they might try to live a moral life. But if they're not born again, then they are under the control of Satan.
Amen.
The Bible says that. It may even be in this chapter. But there's no middle ground. You're either under the control of Satan or you're under the control of God. There are only two kingdoms. Those two kingdoms operate two different ways. There are laws in each kingdom. Now, it's as if you were in two different countries. In one country, you have a set of laws. You know, you go over to Saudi Arabia, you've got a whole different set of laws. I couldn't go around like this in Saudi Arabia. I would have to be covered to my wrist, to my ankles, to my neck, and my head covered. And in some countries, even the face of the woman has to be covered. Men even can't wear shorts just right above the knee. That's it. Not any shorter than that. And there are different laws in different countries. And it's the same in the kingdom, in the two kingdoms. There are different laws in the kingdom of Satan. The laws in the kingdom of Satan are the law of sin and death.
Amen.
Sin brings forth death. If you operate under the law of sin, you're operating under the law of death. Because sin brings forth death. That's it. There's no middle ground. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. If you sin, it brings forth death. If you choose to operate under that law, it'll bring forth death in your life. Now, it may be progressive. You may not die immediately from sin. Some people have. But nevertheless, sin brings forth death. The kingdom of God operates on the law of life. So when you operate in that kingdom by obeying the word of God, whatever the word says to do, it works by obedience. You cannot disobey and reap life. You cannot sow to the flesh, to the world, and expect to reap life. It won't work. It will not work. God is not mocked. You must sow to the Spirit. In order to do that, you've got to have a revelation of the difference in spirit and the kingdom of darkness, flesh, the world. You've got to have a revelation so that you'll know when you're, you know, because a lot of Christians don't even know when they're desiring the things of the world. They think as long as they're not desiring to go drink or party or commit adultery or fornication, they think that they're okay. He's talking to brothers and sisters here, brethren. Love not the world. Now, I had an experience just last week it was last Sunday after I left here, and the Lord showed me there was still some love of the world in me. Now, I hate to admit that, but I'm striving and pressing toward perfection. Now, it wasn't that I wanted to commit sin, but it's when God was calling me aside to intercede, I wanted to go get ice cream. I wanted to put that aside. Now, there's nothing wrong with getting ice cream, is there? There's no sin in that unless you're operating in the kingdom of the world. And I had a temptation to operate in the kingdom of the world. Now, this may sound like a silly thing to you, but walking with the Lord day by day, you're going to experience these things.
Amen.
Temptations, not for any great sin. If you're born again, you don't want to sin. But dying to the self sometimes. Now, the Lord allows us to have fun, and He allows times of refreshing, and He allows, He likes, you know, us to have fun in the appropriate time. But if you strive after that all the time, and that's what the flesh wants to do, the flesh does not want to die. The flesh does not want to get on its face or its knees and intercede when it wants to go get ice cream. It does not want to put that aside and say, no. Now, I can eat ice cream. You can eat ice cream. The Lord allows me to eat ice cream. He will provide, if you will trust Him, He will provide times for the things, you know, enjoyable things. If you put Him first.
Amen.
I'm talking about choosing here. Choosing loving God and His way over loving the world and that way. It's a daily walking it out. Choices, little choices every day. If you think that it's just big things, you are mistaken. It is a daily, every day you have choices to make. You can miss the great things of God. You can miss them. I don't want to scare you. I don't want to rob you of your peace, because if you're really and truly seeking God with all your heart, He won't allow you to miss them. I believe that. But if you're not seeking Him with all your heart, you can miss them. Now, if you continue to, you know, you repent and you start seeking Him again, He'll bring you back to that place. But we need to take heed and be in obedience to what the Lord has told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's choices we make every day to operate in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the world. And there's only two ways. Only two choices all the time. That's why the Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you're walking in a constant communion with Him,
Lord,
saying, Lord, help me to obey You. What do You want me to do? If you have a feeling that you want to call such and such, Lord, is that You? Just ask. Just constantly communing with Him, asking Him, what do You want me to do? Where do You want me to go? Do You want me to go here? Is it okay to go to the grocery store now? Constantly communing with the Lord, and then He will direct your steps. Acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. If you don't acknowledge Him, you're liable to get off in the flesh realm and start operating in that other kingdom. You know, because you might think, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with eating ice cream. See? And you might think, well, you know, because you're not acknowledging the Lord. Where at that moment, there might have been someone that was near a car accident and He was calling on you to pray. You could have prevented it.
Amen.
That's just a small example. But if you're not obedient to give Him yourself, to give up yourself, and He doesn't call you to walk around just, you know, praying, sad, and everything all the time. There is great joy in it. But there are times it is not easy to die to yourself. Dying represents the cross. The cross hurts the flesh. And after you go through the pain, then you get the resurrection life and power. But you must be willing to go through some pain. You cannot keep running to the things of the world. I mean, you can. But if you do, you will never be elevated and get to a higher realm in God where you can be used more and more and more. You've got to practice it daily. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Now, this is not a popular message. I say that because people want to hear about all the favor of God and the great blessings of God and the good things of God. And yes, God does want to bless us tremendously, more than you can imagine. far exceeding above all that you can ask or think or hope for or imagine, dream about. More than you want to be blessed, He wants to bless you. But there are requirements in the Word of God. And He expects us to obey what He said. He's not changed His mind. We want to rightly divide the Word and keep a balance. There are requirements of obedience before you can get to the good things. And Jesus said some hard things. He said some hard things. But not impossible by the Spirit of God, with the help of the Holy Ghost. But without His help, you can't do it. That's why you need revelation. Constant revelation for Him to help you. You can't do it on your own. A lot of people are trying to live for God. They are in a trying religion, and they're just trying to do what's right. And I find myself doing that a lot, you know, because I want to please God. I want to serve God. And we try so hard. But we've got to have help. And it is hard sometimes, and then the Holy Ghost will take over and help you and show you and give you a revelation of the joy. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was ahead of Him. But it wasn't easy for Him to go to that cross. But He was able to do it for the joy that was on the other side. On the other side. He went through the pain. He endured the pain. So when you can't always have the things that you think you want or need at that time, obey the Lord. Do your best to obey the Lord. Endure the pain, and then the greater joy than you could have possibly given yourself, greater joy than your flesh could have had, if you had gone on and done your thing, it'll be empty for you. It won't fulfill you. It won't fulfill you. When the Lord gives gifts, though, after you've been obedient, He'll reward you. He will reward you. He's faithful to reward you. Mark 8, verse 34. And when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, the people and the disciples, all the people here He's talking about, not just those 12, not just the favored few. It's for everybody. Well, He says here, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Come after Me. Whosoever wants to come after Jesus. Whosoever wants to follow Jesus, let him deny himself.
Amen.
And take up his cross, your cross, your own cross. You have to do the denying by choosing, by taking every thought captive, by acknowledging the Lord. You have to do the denying. Denying yourself in those circumstances. That's what taking up your cross is. It's not suffering sickness. Jesus shed His blood and took the stripes on His back so that you wouldn't have to be sick. That is not the cross that He is talking about. And it's not demons attacking you. It's not a fleshly problem. You know, Paul said, a messenger of Satan, and some people say it was his eyes or this or that or the other. There's no indication in the Bible that it was any fleshly injury or any sickness that he had to put up with. There's no indication. A messenger of Satan to buffet him, but because of the great revelation that he had. If anybody can say they had the revelation of Paul, then maybe they can use that scripture. But if you have not had all the revelations that Paul had, you might as well not even try to rationalize your perverted desire to suffer by using that scripture. You don't have to suffer. Some people seem to enjoy it. Maybe they enjoy the pity. For whatever reason, they're in bondage to it. But it's not talking about, your cross is not physical suffering and sickness. The Lord delivered us from that. We don't have to be sick, and we don't have to be poor. The Lord became poor so we could be rich. The Bible says that. He wants you to prosper spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
For whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the cross. Denying yourself and what you want to do at various moments of your day. The little things. The little things. God sees your faithfulness in obedience in the little things. If you cannot obey in the little things, in your daily little choices, He can't make you ruler over much. He can't give you a greater ministry or greater power or whatever greater thing that you're desiring. If you cannot realize it's in the daily little things. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's why I said, when you have a choice to make, you know, they're dying to self is repentance. Admitting you're wrong. Denying yourself is prayer. The flesh doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to study the Word. That's denying yourself. When you say, I will pray. I will turn this TV off. I will put this newspaper down. I will take my lunch hour today and pray. That is denying yourself.